listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
All right, it is that time. It's New Godzilla time, and I can't wait. We have the new Godzilla anime out, which please be better than the last one. And it's out. We're going to talk about it today. I'm jumbling my words, so I'm just going to jump right into who's talking today. I have with me Spider Mike.
Howdy, howdy.
The always pleasant and occasionally talks too much. I'm Matt Frank.
Well, thanks for that intro.
No.
Happy to be here.
He is our sage wisdom here for Godzilla.
Goddamn right.
I wish I was, but then Matt Frank shows up and I'm nothing compared to him. And Jen.
This is the struggle we all deal with in the shadow of the grace that is the fangirldom of Matt Frank.
That's very strong.
A lot recently I've been saying, whenever I get into an argument with someone online, more recently I've just been saying, like, the lion does not concern himself with the opinions of sheep. That's what I tell myself before I get into an argument.
I don't feel bad for that intro anymore.
And to that point, my apologies to the carcasses of all of the reviewers that I had to step on to get on this review. I'm so sorry.
I'm not sorry either. I'm so glad you're here.
Glad to be here.
We are here to talk about Godzilla Singular Point, which is the newest Netflix show. Like I said earlier, they had another one, which was... we'll say it got mixed responses from people. And this one is actually no different. Although I think Singular Point is getting a mixed response for entirely different reasons. Mm-hmm. I want to say that the show is legitimately a really good show. I overall had a great time with it, but there's a lot that's different. You very much have to be willing to take a step back and be like, okay, I know that I've seen Godzilla before, but this is new Godzilla.
I mean, I pretty much anticipated this from the beginning because I think that for the most part, the majority of the response has been positive. There's always going to be stuff that's not going to jive, you know, that it's like, this isn't my jam, you know, this isn't my, I don't care for the storytelling style or whatever. But I can't help sometimes to think that some of the people, some of the responses to this are mostly predicated on people who are just upset that there isn't enough Godzilla.
Yeah, it's the...
True.
It's the Batman Returns, Dark Knight Rises thing, where it's like, there's not enough Batman in these movies. It's like, no, but everything else is, like, kind of nice.
Yeah, and the talky words make their brains hurt, so...
Science!
I try to be a complete dick about it. I just... sometimes.
It's something... I wanted to throw it out there before we really got into the storyline of it.
Sure.
Because this is not what... people seem to expect a lot of the times from a Godzilla giant monster movie, which is just giant monsters attack. Instead, it gets very much into either pseudoscience or forward thinking science. Either way, I didn't entirely understand it, with new forms of matter. And basically it becomes a story about a new form of life that's starting to evolve on Earth. Very much like the, old David Duchovny, Evolution movie way back in the early 2000s.
Did not expect you to reference Evolution.
That was a left turn.
I'm one of like five people who know what you're talking about.
I got halfway into this and was like, holy shit, is this really just Evolution played out in a Godzilla format?
It's Evolution, but slightly less shriekingly obnoxious.
New elements are discovered that can do incredible things, including travel backwards and forwards in time. New supercomputers come out, and... with that comes evolutionary and environmental change and monsters. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots and lots of monsters. It begins with Rodans, who are these, I want to say organic, but more like horror movie, very colorful pterodactyls. And then an Anguera shows up, and before long, there's just monsters left and right. And then eventually you get a Godzilla. It leans a lot more into the hard sci-fi elements of it. And also it felt tonally similar almost to like Evangelion with the way it looked at the environment and like news and society. They very clearly had heady aspirations when making this.
Well, the main writer on the series was, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, was Tol Injo, I think it's how you pronounce it. He's a science fiction writer, but his background is in theoretical physics.
Oh,
damn. He is a legit scientist. And I was very fortunate that I watched this series with my assistant, Kasten, because she's like, well, I want to get into this stuff. And I may feel like this is a good place to start. And Kasten is a huge astrophysics nerd. And there is stuff that was going way over my head where she was like pausing and be like, okay, no, what they're referencing is this aspect of theoretical physics. And they're actually referencing this. And then they're referencing this. So the science in this has real world roots.
Is it the orthogonal diagonalizer?
That's an actual mathematical
that's
thing.
Real?
It's a real
thing.
Oh
my God.
I'm hoping that Kasten and I can sit and watch the whole, we can rewatch the series and do episode by episode breakdowns.
That's fabulous. But, I'm here for it. Yeah. I would listen.
Yeah.
it makes me so much happier knowing that the science actually truly is based in real science and not just pure gobbledygook, which is what I assumed it was. Like, I assumed Trek speak the whole time.
That's one of the problems I think people are running into, is a lot of people are assuming it's gobbledygook. They're assuming it's just technobabble. Every time I see technobabble, I'm like, no, it's not. It's based in real science.
Same thing goes for the acoustical physics in it as well, by the way. The episode with the archery in it, which...
Yeah, I knew you were going to talk about that!
I knew this was going to come up, yeah.
I was so excited. I'm so excited for you to talk about this.
So the archery happened. The form is its own thing. I'm not going to go into it. But the acoustical physics of the Whistler arrow is legit. That's a thing that happens. I actually have historical models of said whistling arrows on my shelf. That's some jam.
That is so
nerd
cool.
Stuff.
That is
yeah,
so
this
awesome.
Specific anime is very, very interesting in the fact that everything is like, it sounds like technobabble, but you can follow it if you really pay attention to the whole thing. And that's probably the trickiest thing, is that it's a very wordy anime. Like, it doesn't matter if it's fake science or real science, it's just that you have to keep up with it. And the show doesn't slow down mm-hmm. to be like, mm-hmm. to stop and be like, no, this is what this means. No, it's like, did you not understand that? I don't fucking care. I'm going to move on kind of thing. And it's just, and like, either you're with it or you're not. And that's really the trickiest part of it, I think, when it comes to a lot of casual audience members.
Well, this is, it's not unprecedented in the Godzilla franchise to do stuff like this. I'm reminded of Godzilla versus Biollante specifically, because that movie on its surface, if you're not really paying attention, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The whole thing seems like a big excuse for Godzilla to fly at a giant half plant, half Godzilla monster for no reason. But if you pay attention to the plot, you'll see that there is this intricate web of things going on, but the movie sort of treats it like you're in on it too, so it shouldn't have to explain this stuff to you. And so as a result, it makes the storytelling feel both natural and aggressively unnatural at the same time. But I think it's also a Japanese thing. Like, that pops up a lot in Japanese storytelling.
I think that's very true, because even with Shin Godzilla, it's very wordy, but it also expects you to just know what's going on when it comes to all of the committees and all that stuff. And it never really stops to explain what's going on, any of that. Like, there's a lot of that stuff even in this, where it's just like a series of different newscasters explaining some stuff, some people explaining just some quick science, so forth and so forth. And it really does expect you to just be like, or you have to go along with this. Because if you're not going along with this, then it's odds are you're just going to be very, very confused as to why a Rodan can turn into an Anguirus and why a whale can turn into like something crazy, like shit like that. It's just like it's there's science to it that makes sense if you just really focus on what they're trying to tell you. Like, it's so amazingly out there. Like, even the science about that the main character
May,
her entire study is like imaginary dimensions and creatures and stuff. Like, the second she says that, you're either on board with her crazy ass thing or you're not. Like, that's really what it comes down to.
Yes.
And the second she said that, I'm like, keep going, May. I want to know about this insane thing. Keep going. And then it just does. And like, and you also have to deal with like AIs that you just have, like, you just have to deal
Thank
with
you.
Things like that. Like, you have to deal with the idea that
just take it in stride, just let it
and
happen.
Just be like, I'm your best friend now, and you're just like, cool, I guess, and then
cool.
It just keeps going from there. And the stuff with Yuna, like Yuna's this very like cold, calculated, but not really like kind of thing, as well as his boss, who is Mr. O, is fucking amazing. I'm gonna say that right.
Oh yeah, Mr. Otaki,
so
old man.
I love him so much.
Oh yeah.
Because he's like that guy who's just like, I'm gonna find Moby Dick, and people think he's crazy. And then Moby Dick shows up, and then you're like, oh, he wasn't a crazy person after all.
Well, no, he's a crazy person. He's just crazy enough to fight the monster head on.
He reminds me of Old Man McGucket from Gravity Falls. Like, that guy's right, but he's clearly a crazy person. So.
Which gets us to what might actually be my favorite part of this entire anime, which is their handling of Jet Jaguar. Because they took a character who was basically an Ultraman ripoff and whose design did not inspire confidence originally when the original pictures got released, and turns it into a robot that has character and heart and you really root for and have emotional connections to. I love Jet Jaguar in this.
Arguably the only character that shows any range throughout the entire project. Like, the only one that goes on a hero's journey and actually has character development.
I could see that.
Which is a funny parallel to Godzilla vs. Kong, which is arguably on the complete opposite end of the spectrum as far as storytelling goes. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I like when the monkey punches the lizard.
But cool.
I think people also assume that that's all Godzilla movies either are or should be. Like, when people say, like, oh man, I love Godzilla vs. Kong, that's what all Godzilla movies should be. I think 4.5 blood vessels burst behind each eye every time somebody says that to me, because it's no, historically no. Arguably the only character in Godzilla vs. Kong who goes on a hero's journey is Kong. It's really his story, whereas in Singular Point, while I feel like all the characters aside from Jet Jaguar pretty much operate on a flat storytelling curve, there, I feel like people sometimes say, like, well, I didn't like this story because the characters didn't grow or change. And I can think of so many stories where great stories like Ghostbusters, no one in that movie changes or develops throughout the entire film. And it's a great movie. It's a fantastic movie. But the characters don't have to change because they are who they are when they start and when they finish.
It's because that's not the kind of movie that, or that's not the kind of show this is. What's interesting here is watching a world deal with a monster invasion that, like, immediately, like a light switch, we're no longer at the top of the food chain and we have to deal with it as a society the world over. And that's the kind of story this is. So it's lots of broad strokes, and then you get the through line of Jet Jaguar, who starts out as nothing but a robot initially, then gets one of the, like, four different AI main characters installed in
it. There's two specific ones.
They're all offshoots of the same program, Narutaki or whatever it's called.
It just amalgamates on its own, yeah.
It's just a great cell phone app is all.
I want that app. That app sounds fucking awesome.
But, and then it grows into a fully fledged thinking person. You actually get to see it go through a literal birth, and it becomes a baby for a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, holy shit, guys.
That was beautiful.
Jet Jaguar rocks.
See, one of the things that is just Matt Catnip is when you take something from a thing I already like and you reinterpret it in a way that is bold and fresh while still, like, you take the base framework of something and you just reinterpret it. What they did was they took the original story of Jet Jaguar, which Aaron said, a goofy Ultraman knockoff. I mean, the designer of the character literally was so sick of giant superheroes on Japanese television, he purposefully designed Jet Jaguar to be as obnoxious looking as possible.
And it didn't work because everyone loves him.
Yeah. Well, everyone in America loves him. People in Japan are like, really?
That we love thing? Some weird shit here.
Yeah, well, we also didn't have giant heroes other than Ultraman or Spectre Man.
Or Apache Chief.
Wait, we have Paul Bunyan.
But is he a
Does
monster?
Does he fight kaiju, though? This is really the thing.
This is our continued ongoing discussion.
Hey, fuck you guys for forgetting Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yeah, but he doesn't fight kaiju. He fights cats in the neighborhood.
He's not.
Wait. But is Clifford a kaiju?
Yes.
I've broken Matt Frank. Yes, Matt Frank is out.
But let's talk about the show some more. So the actual...
Thank you. Right. I want to actually talk about the monsters, because they took a new tact on a lot of the monsters. They bridge them all together to the same source, this new physical substance that is changing the environment, which is something I both respect for a storytelling mechanic, because it gives this sense of dread as literally Earth is changing and people can't even breathe the air. But at the same time, it's like the third or fourth giant monster spewing toxic bullshit to change the Earth's environment I've seen in the last 5 or 6 years, and I'm kind of tired of it. Mm-hmm. At least here, it doesn't feel like it's done just to cheap on the animation budget. It feels like it has a narrative purpose here. But I've been intrigued by the evolution of Godzilla as a character over the decades. Like, he started off as this very direct analogy to the Holocaust, and that was a very pointed real thing.
Well, not the Holocaust, to Hiroshima.
The nuclear Holocaust. Just say the nuclear Holocaust.
The nuclear Holocaust. Thank you. My apologies. That's because I'm slightly drunk and I'm trying to talk quick. And then he's evolved over the years to be a lot of things, even being like a titan of good to protect Earth in the American movies. And here they seem to take the same tact that Shin Godzilla did, of Godzilla is this being of pure like evolutionary change who is always evolving. And the moment something doesn't work, fucker will change his entire makeup to adapt to it.
I got this. Saying even my final form.
Like I like that new origin because it feels scary and real to modern day world that in a way that the nuke just unfortunately isn't always now because it's been so long.
Well, we consider nuclear weaponry to be old hat, even though it is still a very real, very present danger that we all do kind of live in the shadow of still.
Are you telling me Superman didn't throw them all into the sun? You're telling me Superman force fake?
Wait.
Well,
I thought that movie was real.
It is interesting, though. So one of the hotbed topics in the genre is, you know, what are the stories about? Are they about the kaiju and their stories, or are they about the people? And it's that balance of like, what is the important story to tell? And it's interesting that this project is very much the story of the people and not at all the story of the kaiju, the monsters.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see granted, this is the first straight up and legal anime style that I've seen in this franchise, because the previous one that we've covered is its own thing. And I love it for the reasons I love it. Mm-hmm. Let me. But this is, it's got the anime intro and it's got the back and forth between the serious and the funny. And it's got all of those hallmarks of a great anime in it.
Yeah, it's a show, so, not movies.
It's a show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to see that it's taking a completely different view of the world and giving it new life is really interesting. And it makes you stop and consider what you know about
the world. I love about it, it's very much about it's people versus nature versus time. Versus just like things they don't understand. Like it's just them just having to figure out, like they're trying to stop something from happening, but they don't even know what's happening. And that's like, it's so frustrating for them. And that's the closest thing to a character arc a lot of people have, is going from I don't understand to I kind of understand what's going on. Let's hope for the best kind of thing.
One of the ways this show is kind of sits in the canon, and something I was just reminded of, the Japanese especially recently have a really hard time empathizing with Godzilla the way Americans really want to. Like, we want Godzilla to be the hero. We want Godzilla to be arguably the main character, or to be the sort of Gaia's vengeance, avenger of nature. Whereas to the Japanese, he's just terrifying. He's just an existential threat with legs.
It works really well in this a lot because the fact that Godzilla he's not the focal point. The focal point is the fact that he is the big bad. He's the final boss of each of these little guys. Like, all the little guys are basically your Ryus and your Kens, and then you got M fucking Bison glowing fucking red and purple in the distance, slowly evolving to be even stronger than like what you have with like even all their like the early plans they have, they just stop working. And that's what makes what makes Godzilla really interesting in this, I think, even more than he did in Shin Godzilla, is when I look at Shin Godzilla and I look at his beginning and I look at his end, I have a hard time seeing how you got from beginning to end. Whereas if I look at the Godzilla here, when you see the beginning and the end, everything makes sense when you look at him. Like, every time he changes, you're like, okay, so this part is what changed on him, because this is what he figured was not working for him, so he evolved from here, and then this evolved from that. And because the first time they came out with the image of him. They're like, well, what the fuck's up with his mouth? It's like, it makes perfect sense when you watch it from beginning to end, because it's like, oh, that was the one part he's like, I can bite things in bigger circumference. I'm not getting rid of that kind of thing. And it just keeps going from there. And you're like, oh, fuck.
I don't know if anyone else in this chat picked up on this, but his three previous forms to his final form, each one is a reference to a different canonical Toho monster.
Really?
I did not.
The very first one that I'm going to hold up that the audience can't see, his red kind of swimming form, this is based on Titanosaurus from Terror of Mechagodzilla.
Which, just want to say, Loki, my favorite form in the movie.
It's really cool. It's just kind of whale-like and Mosasaur-like, but fans were so pissed off that it wasn't a new version of Titanosaurus.
Oh, man, when that Godzilla theme plays and it pops up, I was so confused.
Oh, yeah.
And then it kept happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a second. Is this who I was what's happening?
Yeah.
Because this is the thing that I think some audience members are going to have a hard time getting their minds around, is that when that song comes on, that's what you're looking at. Like, you just, that's another one of those instances of either are you in or you're not. Like, it just tells you flat out, like, this is where we're starting from. And if you're not cool with that, you might just have to drop from here.
I mean, it's a testament to the power of Akira Ifukube's original composition that Jen Larson had that as her ringtone for a little while.
Oh, wow.
It still is, yo.
Awesome. Awesome.
Still is, yo.
Again, while I was watching the show with Kasten, we got to the scene where it's this big city destruction sequence and it's Godzilla in his full fury. And it's that and it has the chanting, like the Gojira, Gojira, yeah. Gojira, yeah, Tekita. And it's doing that. And she, you know, not a fan, like not really exposed to this genre. She turned to me after I'd seen it and was basically like, okay, yeah, that got me. Like, that was cool.
I rewatched that sequence maybe like four times. Like, I had to.
I watched it today yet.
The show is up there with Shin Godzilla and most impactful and cool Godzilla radiation breath that I've ever seen on film.
That's really cool.
Mm.
Yeah, that's legit.
They're amazing. They have this visual design of these circles that just kind of manifest in front of it. And it's such a great look. And it gives you a nice tracking reticle, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to circle back to a point that you talked about, Matt Frank, which is the way that the Japanese audience and the American audience, or creators, really differentiate in how they handle Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Which, one thing I thought was interesting was that the show, even when you get to the last few episodes, I never actually felt like Godzilla was the primary antagonist of the show, despite it being called Godzilla. Godzilla was the one who causes the event that they're trying to stop, but it's always very much around trying to stop the event, mm-hmm. not Godzilla. That was actually what bugged me most about the previous iteration, was that it felt too much like a vengeance tale on Godzilla. Mm. And that never really meshed with me as much.
Well, the funny thing is that we often describe Godzilla as being a quote unquote force of nature. And I feel like that conjures images again of Gaia's vengeance, of this Avenger that we try to contextualize him as on the American side of things. Because we see Godzilla, we think he's cool, and we want to find a way to justify why he's doing what he's doing. And that, oh, well, Godzilla must be protecting the Earth, or he must be like Earth's antibodies or something like that.
Well, that's the reason I compared him to a tornado, because you can try to understand a tornado, but it's just air that's going to come at you. Like, it has no thoughts, has no feelings, it has no, like, you can't explain the thought process of a tornado no better than you can explain the thought process of Godzilla. And that's kind of the reason, that's always why I've always, you know, said that sort of thing. But I get what you're saying. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I just, because we anthropomorphize things, especially on the Western side of things, we tend to want to find ways where we can empathize with Godzilla. Whereas, while the Japanese have definitely made a lot of Godzilla's the hero narratives, mostly out of desperation in the 70s in order to keep audience attendance up and compete with the Gamera films. The thing is about Godzilla is that he is almost anti-nature itself. That's what I like about Singular Point, is that he is destroying everything around him. His presence alone is warping reality.
Well, the interrupted nap time. Like, I get it. Like, dude, don't wake me up if you're not coming at me with snacks and juice. Like, dude.
It's funny because Godzilla kind of reminds me of New 52 Doomsday a little bit. Because Godzilla in the show, as well as a lot of other kaiju, they have that red archetype. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. The red dust archetype. Yeah.
Like in the beginning of the show, they showed as kind of like a cosmic cube looking thing where it's just like, this is something that we've made. We're not really sure what it does. We're not really sure how it works, but we think it's the future kind of thing. The same way they look at the cosmic cube kind of thing. And so it releases this toxin essentially in the air that like it can survive in, but nobody can. They did the same thing with Doomsday New 52 at one point. And it's very much like the seas boil. Things get very insane looking. Nothing really can survive in its path. He's not one with nature the way, yeah, the American Godzilla movies have been doing. He is the explodey thing. He's the bomb. He's the nuclear bomb that's appeared.
Literally.
And you can't understand what's happening. Mm-hmm. The show is very much, again, it's about people versus the unknown. Like from beginning to end, there's so much that's going on that like no one really understands what's going on. Like the voice acting is solid in both the English and the Japanese dubs. Like you feel the anguish that people have, you feel the sorrow, you feel everything. And everything makes sense. You might need your subtitles for a lot of certain sequences. Specifically, there's a chat sequence.
Oh my god.
You're gonna want your subtitles. Also, if you are bad at understanding English, you're also gonna watch it in English because it doesn't subtitle the Japanese people when they speak English. Which is very frustrating. Because there's so many times where I'm like, what did they say? And so they rewind it. And I was like, you clearly don't know what you're saying. So I had to put it in English for just that small second. And so that's something that I think you will have to think about. It's not that often, but it does happen. The music, fucking phenomenal. I've listened to the theme itself like pretty much all week since I finished it.
Nice.
Godzilla's great in it. Anguirus is fantastic because I love Anguirus. He's my boy.
The goodest dog.
The Rodans are amazing. What I loved about the designs of the monsters is that they're 3D, but they're not really 3D at the same time. Like they do something with them that makes them blend in with the anime better than it would be with a lot of things that do something like this. I think this thing is amazing. It's up there with some of the best animes that are out there. I hope we get a second season. Watch the credits. There's a YouTube video that explains every fucking Easter egg that's in there that's like 20 minutes long. Because there's so much fucking Easter eggs in just that minute. Even like Godzilla 98 references, which is fucking crazy to me. I will give it 9.5 out of 10 deflecting Anguirus horns or scales. I can't really, I'm not really sure how nice to describe it, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jen?
Oh man, how am I supposed to follow that? What he said. No. all right, I'm going to be the naysayer for a minute then, because I don't get to do that very often. Oh, I think that I would have enjoyed this a lot more if it did not have Godzilla in the title. If I went into it fresh, not expecting expectations and such, I think I would have enjoyed the journey that they went on a bit more.
Mm.
Because I spent so much of the show hyping myself out for like, to see Godzilla. When are we gonna see Godzilla? It's like episode 7. Where's my dude? Oh wait, that was in the whole time. That was So I wasted a lot of the time with that back and forth. I enjoyed a lot of things about it. There were certain things I didn't. They got the archery right. When does that happen? Soundtrack, obviously. Second on the art design. Oh man, that shit was cracking. The first time that the Rodan pops down and, like, does the pterodactyl, like, land with the face. Just, man, really, really cool looking. Creepy looking, but cool looking at the same time. Really dug that. There were elements of it that, I mean, I'll admit, I've been pulling 80-hour weeks and am super, super tired. And I tried to watch it, you know, at the end of the day for the last few days. So that goes into it. But there were times where I found some stuff a bit hard to keep up with. Not the sciencey stuff, but the in-between connective tissue a bit of, like, some of the character placements and things just was a bit for me. I did kind of want more out of the characters. Like I said, Jet Jaguar was the most interesting character of this whole thing and had the best journey. And I, you know, it might not be necessary, but I kind of want there to be more of a journey for my characters. But yeah, the AI journey throughout the course was great. And then the hooks at the end, the ahas, those were great. There was a lot of great happening in this, apparently. I'm, however, going to be the Debbie Downer of this. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 inconveniently delayed connective flights.
Ah, I like that.
I like it. I also like that your Debbie Downer score is a 7 out of 10, which would be like a great score for anything else.
I know.
Debbie Downer, it's only kind of great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on a video gaming website, she'd be like, oh, so clearly you hated it.
Too much water.
Trust me, I do not hesitate to give a thing a 2 when it needs it. I've done the thing.
It's true.
It's true.
Yeah, I came in not really knowing what to think about this. I don't normally mind when they make changes to adapt an established property as long as they keep the spirit right. And I really ended up enjoying it. All third, the art style. They take 3D animation, that cheap, low frame rate stuff that you see all the time that looks terrible. And because of the way they actually create the 3D modeling and do the animation, it works. I never felt the awkwardness that I get with every other Netflix animation that uses a style that just drives me up the wall. And so points to them for figuring that formula out. The story is intelligent, a little bit too much sometimes. It's aggressive. It's challenging. Like, this is a good anime throughout. It does some things I wasn't prepared for. And like, really the only thing that bothered me is I have some nitpicks as to how they handled a few of the monsters. There's a visual reference to one of my favorite monsters that kind of actually made me angry because I wanted to see the fucking monster. I don't want to see a visual reference to him.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, this was a grand slam. I loved this. Yet again, more great Godzilla content that I can't wait to show people. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 magic Godzilla reticles.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, hold on. Hold on, I'm trying to, I have to start popping stuff first. Playtime! I'm going to go ahead and say that this is one of the most striking and well-made pieces of Godzilla media since, I'm going to say, 2001. So I'd say it's probably been a solid 20 years since a Godzilla thing has wowed me like this. I do enjoy Shin Godzilla a lot, but just the last time something like this caught my attention in the Godzilla franchise was GMK, Giant Monsters All Out Attack, which is still my favorite Godzilla movie. But I just, there's a freshness in the approach to this that I find very refreshing, for lack of a better term. And it's nice to see them take this toy box of that is this franchise and just play with it and do some unique stuff with it and do something different. It's something that engages the audience rather than passively throws monsters at the audience. I will agree with everyone. I think the music is really great. I appreciated that the references were there, but they didn't stop the story. This isn't Cruella. It doesn't grind the entire production to a halt so it can explain where somebody gets their hair color from. It's just like, oh, that's a reference. It's like, you guys, like I said, y'all didn't know that Godzilla goes through a Titanosaurus phase, a Varan phase, and a Gorosaurus Godzilla 98 Manila phase? There, I do have little nitpicks. It would be nice to get a little more out of the characters. It's not going to have the same emotional highs that something like Dinozenon's going to have, but it is deeply engrossing. The editing is a little wonky sometimes. I felt like there could have been a little more of a sense of peril because not that many characters die. I felt like they could have probably ratcheted that. I don't want to see people dying left and right, but let's have a little more peril. Let's have a little more like mortality on display. Yeah, I fucking loved it. And if you didn't like it, you're wrong. I'm going to give this a 9.5 out of 10. This is a reference that only Godzilla fans are going to get. 9.5 out of 10 Mega Nulons that replace Shokuras.
Yes.
Nerd.